A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Redmen TV. It's the match preview show ahead of Fulham versus Liverpool. Yes, it's the League Cup semi-final, second leg. I'm Steve Hood, joined by Dan Clubb and by Chloe Blocksham to have a big old chat about the Reds. And Dan, let's get straight into it. We've just listened to Pep Linders' press conference, probably started the show a little bit later. And for the most part, really good news. Like, there was talk of Liverpool going down with them with more injuries. It's the other way around. They're getting a couple, maybe one or two back as well. So, yeah, Liverpool are going into a big game, and it feels like a couple more options might be available now in Curtis Jones and Andy Robertson, which is the big one.
Yeah, really positive. Yeah, really, really positive. What sort of part they play in this game remains to be seen. Obviously, I still think they'll be cautious with both of them. Robertson, obviously, having missed so much footy, they're definitely going to sort of ease him back into it. And I think even though Jones, there were no issues sort of arising from him coming off of the weekend, I still think there'll be one eye on it, because if he comes off with a precaution, are you really going to sort of go again with him and look him to play maybe 60, 90 perhaps? Not. And clearly when you've got Ryan Gravenberch there, he probably needs the minutes as well. It feels like a little bit of a no-brainer just to do that swap. But yeah, ultimately the press conference has brought up more positives than negatives, and probably needed it as well on the back of what's been going on with Salah. That's left a little bit of a cloud over what's going on now with Liverpool. But to have Szoboszlai back at the weekend, potentially Trent back as well, Tsimikas only a couple of weeks away, it really was a press conference full of good news, really.
Absolutely was. We'll talk more about Liverpool's team and selection stuff later, Club. But obviously, you're going down there, Liverpool go down there with a one-goal advantage from the first leg. We've seen games, all the games against Marco Silva's Fulham for Liverpool have been really close. You know, a couple of draws. We've had the odd win by the odd goal. You know, 1-0 last season. The mad 4-3 this season. The first leg the other day. You're expecting another close game when you get down there. I haven't got the sense that Liverpool are going to go and just walk through Fulham and win 2-3-4-0. It feels like we're in for a big game down at Craven Cottage.
Yeah, especially with the fact that, you know, just as much as we do, they want to get to a final. Their fans, you know, that's their opportunity to win some silverware. So the atmosphere will also be electric as well, you'd imagine. Like you mentioned there, last season, I think we kicked off the season against Fulham, and it was a game where Liverpool just weren't really at the races. Obviously scored some nice goals. I think Darwin Nunez scored on that day as well, but the atmosphere was good, and you know, they felt like they could get at Liverpool. And if we give any sense of that tomorrow, then their fans will really run with it and get behind the team. What I will say is, this is a team that's got a different mentality and a team that's much more stronger. Where we are on the table, the rhythm we're in, the form we're in, and we're also one goal ahead, so we don't need to go all out or do anything here. We can pick them off, because at some point, if it does stay as 2-1 on aggregate, they will have to come out at us, and that's when Liverpool can pick them apart and get in the spaces. But yeah, it's going to be a very tough game. They're a good side. He's a good manager. They've got some really good players, but so have we.
I suppose, Dan, going for Chloe's interesting, from a Fulham perspective, because it's only one goal, they don't need to go gung-ho from the off. Now, to be fair, they don't sit back. They've never sat back against Liverpool. They try and press and they try and play, and they've had success doing it against a lot of teams. But it's not like Liverpool are going there. Like, Liverpool had chances late in that game to get that third, which would have made it a little bit more comfortable. But it doesn't really change anyone's game plan, that one goal, really, for both sides.
No, I'd probably say it's about right. I think Bernd Leno probably kept him in it, because you're right. I think Liverpool sent a little bit of blood towards the dying embers of that game. It felt like we could have killed the tie off as a whole. But no, I think you're right. I think 2-1, still very much in the balance, a little bit of status quo going into this one. I think both teams will come in with their natural approach to the game, and Fulham being the home side, whether it be a league game or a cup game, second leg in particular, will just approach it in the same way, same manner they would anyway, quite frankly. And they'll look to be positive, they'll look to keep the back back door closed. But these games have produced goals, as you mentioned, in recent times anyway. The one, loads of positives from Liverpool point of view, but the one overriding feeling I can't get out of my head going into this game is we're going to score, and I'm touching wood to not jinx it, but it feels like we will score because of the firepower we've got, because of the way Fulham approach these types of games as well. And a goal for Liverpool, especially if it was to come early, doesn't kill the game, but it does take the wind out their sails.
A goal early for
well.
Liverpool, Chloe, I like that. That does change Fulham's tactics because then all of a sudden, and to be fair, this isn't like you're going to play a team who sits back anyway. They will want to play and they've got goals in their side. And to be fair, to them, like I'm looking back at Liverpool's results against Fulham. The last time Liverpool beat Fulham by more than one goal was 2018. It's either been draws or wins by the odd goal here and there. You know, so it does feel a little bit like, yeah, they're not going to panic if it is while it's one, but if you can make it two, then you can see how they react to it.
Yeah, and if, like you mentioned there, if we get a goal within the first 10 minutes, that atmosphere deflates massively. And that's why, you know, an early goal is actually really important. It's important for them if they get it for belief, but it's important for us in terms of like completely killing the atmosphere. Then there's dread, then there seems like an uphill battle. And Liverpool use that to their advantage. People can lose their heads. It is a semi final. It's vitally important, but these are games in which, you know, they clearly don't give up. They've shown us how much they can score against us, how many times they can cause us problems as well. And you know, there is still the likes of Conor Bradley in that, who might be playing these games, who, you know, we've sat here and said he's been brilliant, and rightfully so, but he's going to have to come up against Willian and shut him down again like he did in the first leg. And to do that again, but at their stadium with their fans, isn't as easy as we all might think. So yeah, it's going to be a really tough game, but if we can nick a goal in the first 15 minutes, I think Liverpool can, you know, not run away with it, but I just feel like maybe Fulham kind of go within themselves a little bit. But yeah, they've got really good players, so they can cause us problems.
The issue with that, Dan, is Liverpool are statistically a better second half team.
Yeah, big time.
If this isn't a Liverpool team that goes and blows teams off the water early doors, it just doesn't happen. Liverpool's goal difference, I know you mentioned it on the show yesterday, you know, they're plus 8 in second half, first half's and plus 41, is it?
Yeah,
in second half, sorry, plus 8 in first and plus 41 in second half. So they are a second half team. So the idea that we're going to go and just get, I mean, hopefully they do, but also we've got to be prepared, the players and fans. And listen, extra time's a possibility. There's no away goals, but so extra time's a possibility as well. It is going to be interesting, the mentality of Liverpool in this game, because I think if it was 2-goal lead, you're almost half going, you know, we can stick. You know what I mean? We can. But at one, I think Liverpool's game plan stays the same. It's just it's a normal game with that little tiny extra cushion, but I'd say if we were 3-1 up, you know, and it was a 2-goal advantage, you might go there going, let's just go, be solid. But you don't really do that at 1-0. I don't think you can afford to, because, like Chloe says, if you're sat back and the Fulham onslaught's coming and coming and coming, they're probably going to get one at some point.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. There's no way Liverpool sit on this 1-goal lead and think that's enough. We'll hold what we have. That just doesn't exist. And I think Liverpool's approach would be exactly the same as it would be regardless of that. And I think the 1-goal cushion, if you like, only really comes into play if it remains 0-0 after 60, 70 minutes, at which point Fulham do have to take the handbrake off and really come flying at us. And then you'd back Liverpool to pick them off, because Liverpool, although we're enjoying a very successful season, you know, relatively speaking, we've been through the ringer quite a lot to get to this point, haven't we? It hasn't always been straightforward, you know what I mean? Like, even the weekend 4-0 scoreline doesn't flatter Liverpool, but for 45 minutes of that game, it was not a 4-0 game. So we know this side, and Jurgen Klopp knows as well, that we can win games in a whole different manner of ways, and that's going to be important to our night as well, because although it would be absolutely ideal if Liverpool do score in the opening 10-15 minutes, I don't expect that to be the case, as Fulham are a good side, they're at home, they're going to want to get to the final, all them factors. But I just back this Liverpool team to find a way again, and if Fulham do come out and they do start strong, weather that storm, grow into the game exactly like we did the weekend, and eventually our chances will come. And that's why it's imperative with the likes of Jota, we've seen it with Nunes at the weekend, whether we come Cody Gakpo, Diaz, whoever, when we get opportunities, we have to make them count, because they're going to be few and far between, certainly in the opening part of the game. And if you can kill this game early, happy days.
How much impact do you think the rest thing has on it, Chloe? Because obviously after we played Fulham, Liverpool went straight away. Fulham hung around a bit longer, didn't they? They played Chelsea and then they haven't played. So effectively, they got beat, I think they got beat 1-0 by Chelsea on the 13th. This game was on the 24th. Marco Silva and his players have had 11 days to focus on Liverpool at home in the cup. Liverpool obviously played, they had to put all their eggs, would have been in the Bournemouth basket up until Monday, really. I'm guessing that's advantage Fulham. Like, you talk about Rushden, that's the only way where, if they're lacking a bit of rhythm, that's the only positive for Liverpool, but they're going to be healthier. You know, they haven't got as many injuries. We'll talk, you know, their squad I'll bring up now, they've got Traore out injured, and then Bassi, Balotore and Iwobi are away on international duty with the AFCON. So they're relatively healthy, and they've had a lot of rest, and it's been full focus on Liverpool. From the second they got beat by Chelsea, I'm guessing there was a little bit of a break for Marco Silva, and then it's been all eyes on that semi-final. We've been distracted by a big game at Fulham, probably a big game at Bournemouth. How much do you think that plays into this?
I don't think it does. I don't think it can do. You can't go into that mentality.
I'm talking from a Fulham point of view. Like, from, don't worry about Liverpool. Liverpool are used to this.
I still don't think it, for them, it's good because they've had 11 days to nail down exactly what they want to do. But you're up against the Liverpool side, and if they take their chances, you know, it only takes one chance for it to fall at the right feet, and Jota, and then you're 1-0 up and your game plan completely changes. So, you know, they'll have worked through so many different things that can go on within that game, and the extra days do help. The extra, you know, time off really does help, but they're still a good side. Yep. They're still going to face Liverpool, who, by the way, when you're winning and when you're in form, you don't want to stop, you want to keep playing. And that's the thing with Liverpool on this run of form, like, it's you bounce off wins and you use the momentum. So yeah, it's good for Fulham, as you know, they've got some rest. If there was any little injuries, niggles about, they've had enough time to sort them out, and they've also had enough time to really plan and nail down what they want to do in this game. But you know, that could go out the window if one of them makes an error within the first 10 minutes and your game plan completely changes. So yeah, it might be an advantage to them, but Liverpool are on a good run of form and are bouncing into these games. So you can come with your game plan, but if Liverpool can match you and if Jurgen Klopp can match you, then you're going to be in a tough game.
Just on that as well, sorry Steve, just on that. Liverpool, the beauty of these fixtures back to back as well is stylistically, I don't think Fulham and Bournemouth are massively dissimilar the way they want to play the game, and obviously it's away from home on both occasions as well, so we're going to face very similar circumstances to what we faced at the weekend, and we managed to find a way of overcoming that. So it's not like we're playing a different, completely different type of team that goes about their football in a completely different way. So I actually think it suits you. Right, the preparation will be slightly different, there'll be different conversations around set pieces and all that, but in terms of what we're coming up against, it's not massively dissimilar.
It's also massive at the fact that we have Norwich on the weekend, and it's like that, if that was Arsenal this weekend, you'd be in a state of thinking, oh my god, those players are going to have to go twice again back to back, but they don't. You can ask that first team, first 11, to go once more and give everything for Fulham, and then you can say on the weekend you'll be on the bench, you'll be, you know, coming on for we might have players back for that game as well who'll take over your positions, because that Norwich game, it's at home, it gives you a little bit more leeway to just ask the players to go one more time, and then they can have a little break, a little day off.
Absolutely, I think that's massive. Yeah, the fact that it's not, if it was a league game next up, you'd have to look at it.
Well, the Premier League team in the FA Cup.
Exactly. I think that's spot on. Right, then let's talk about, that's Fulham done, and I think no one's disrespecting or underestimating how hard it's going to be. Fulham are a good team, and they've proven difficult, so Liverpool are going to have to be at it, Dan. So we touched upon team news earlier. Kelleher comes back in goal, we know that, he's the League Cup goalkeeper. Interesting news that Pep Linder said today, Andy Robertson's going to travel down. Mm-hmm. I don't know, do you see him starting straight away? Do you think bench? Because Chloe mentioned the Conor Bradley right back thing, and he'd had an excellent couple of games.
Yeah.
There might be a temptation to get Robo back in if he's fit and put Joe Gomez at right back, with the option of maybe taking Robo off a little bit late, and then Bradley becomes your sub, or Owen Beck becomes an option as well. So I don't know, if he's fit, I think they might be half tempted to play him.
Yeah, I think they would be definitely half tempted. I think Owen Beck is almost the joker in the pack in that circumstance as well, because it would be easy to just say you do Gomez for 60, then you bring Robertson on, you shift Gomez over, but then Beck becomes a little bit, why is he there, essentially? I mean, he could easily replace Robertson, as you say, if he does an hour, something like that. But I do think they'll be extra cautious with Robertson. The beauty of Andy Robertson's injury, if there is such a thing, is it was a shoulder. So he's been able to do a lot of sort of the leg and the fitness work. He might not have lost a lot of that core fitness that he once had.
Yeah,
because he's been training for weeks, essentially. It's just been contact stuff that he's not been able to do. So they might be ever so slightly ahead in terms of his return. So possibly there's a start there. I would imagine they will be still cautious and he will be on the bench. And you go Gomez and Bradley and you bring Robertson on for Gomez at some point and Gomez shifts across. That's the way I'd look at it. But as I say, the fact you've now got Owen Beck in the ranks again means you could go Robertson, Beck, Gomez across.
Yeah, there's you've got to be careful with Conor Bradley as well. That's the thing, he has played a bit. And that's why I'm thinking, he got a good 10 minutes off the other day. I think he was on a yellow card. Jürgen was right to get him off, Chloe. But you mentioned before, Bradley at right back. Is that what you expect Klopp to go against? So you're expecting Gomez and Bradley at full back?
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about Robertson all day long, but Joe Gomez is the person who literally, you need to be better than him to replace him right now.
Yeah, get your shirt back, mate. Yeah. It's a fair point.
But Joe Gomez has been absolutely immense for Liverpool from both the left and when he's been asked to move to the right. Yeah. He's been so influential on that team. And if there is a, you know, I wouldn't expect him to start Robertson from the off for the main reason of, once again, you've got that knowledge game. Lad, go and get 60 minutes in that game, you know, and then we can sub you off and we can start drip feeding you into the games so that we know we're not putting you in the deep end straight away. And Conor Bradley as well, he's in brilliant form and you might be able to exactly do if Robertson is travelling down. Brilliant, let's give him the last 20. Yeah. Let's move Joe Gomez to the right and give Conor Bradley the rest because we've asked him to go and go and go again. But once again, that Norwich game is massive for me because these players who are starting to come back, that's the game that where you'd be saying, go and get 60 minutes for me. And that's, you know, then potentially you can start in the Chelsea or Arsenal game. That is the beauty of having that. But right now, I think Joe Gomez starts because for me, Robertson's got to earn his place back. And that's just healthy competition. Yep. And even if it's not, even if Robbo comes straight back into the fold, well, you've got really good competition between Bradley and Gomez up until Trent comes back. So it's a great situation to have. Yep. But I do expect Bradley to start on the right and I expect Gomez to start on the left.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So who goes centre-back then? I was thinking, Kanate's been immense.
Yep.
And again, do you think you might ask him to go again, Dan, and then take the weekend off? He did pick like an ankle knock up at the end of the game. Apparently, he's all right. He carried on and not much mention of it today. But they have been extra careful with Konate. We've seen Quanta play games, midweek games in particular. So what do you think he's going to do there?
Yeah, that's the one sort of niggling doubt or thought about Konate is the fact we have been so cautious with the use of him. However, I think he starts this one. I think we go as close to our strongest starting 11 as possible. And I think Konate and Virgil van Dijk are absolutely in that. Of course they are. The Quanta thing would be tempting. The only thing that makes it less tempting is the fact that it's Conor Bradley at right back. Now, Conor Bradley has been outstanding. Absolutely nothing against him. But coming up against someone like Willian, and indeed Anthony Robertson's going to be bombing on as well, doubling up over there, Conor Bradley on his own feels not impossible, but difficult, let's put it that way. But have Konate alongside you in that circumstance feels great. And again, Joel Quant has been outstanding, but you want a bit more experience. You want that bit more nous, a bit more know-how. So I don't see us going with a very young right side of defence. I see it being Konate and Bradley and Virgil van Dijk alongside.
Yeah, I'd agree with that one. McAllister is going to play in the six. I think we can all agree on that one. So yeah. It's what happens in front of him now. And I say this with all five positions, because some of them intertwine. Like Elliot and Gakpo in particular. Yeah. If it was a Venn diagram of Liverpool attackers and midfielders, they're in the middle of it. Yeah. They can do both. I'll put it to you, Chloe. Let's talk about midfield options then first. Kersis, by all accounts, is clear. He wasn't injured on Bournemouth. Pep Linders made it clear. He'd felt something in the week. He'd been given the all okay, but then he decided, you know what, we're 3-0 up on 10 minutes to go. I'll just sit down and get off the pitch. So he's fine. He's been so important. Pep Linders was bigging him up today about getting himself an England cap as well, which I think he would totally deserve if that comes. But does that give you any concern, the fact that he did the Bournemouth game? Again, you have mentioned before, Norwich at the weekend, you ask Curtis to go again and then have the weekend off. How do you see this one panning out?
I would start Gravenberch. I'd start Gravenberch and probably Harvey Elliott, because okay. I like him in that. I don't like him on the wing. I like him more in that number eight role. I thought he really helped Conor Bradley out on the weekend as well. So, you know, he knows his defensive capabilities as well. He knows he needs to get back and add additional support there. But for me, Curtis Jones is one where I would not risk him. He's in too good a form, and I'd maybe give him the 30 minutes if he needs it, you know, if we're really struggling. And obviously if Gravenberch, who hasn't played loads of 90 minute games, if he's struggling as well, I would not chance it. He's too important to us, he's too vital to us. You know, where we've maybe asked Konate to go once again, it seems like him, it was just a little knock that he picked up in the game. Curtis Jones, clearly there was something throughout the week that was troubling him. He gets the all clear, but he still feels it. And if you've still felt it in that game, I don't want you to be at risk at all. So I would start Gravenberch. If Curtis Jones starts, wonderful. I think he's like, I'd love him to start, but I don't want to risk him. And then Harvey Elliott as well. I feel like every time he's played, he's impressed me. And you know, I don't think he got in the game as much as we would have liked him to against Bournemouth. But once again, that first half was very flat from a Liverpool perspective, and we only improved in the second half. So yeah, let him go and have a run out again.
Suppose as well, as we've mentioned, I should have said before, Pep did say Szoboszlai could be back for Norwich.
Yeah.
You mentioned Trent could be back for Norwich as well. So there are two options you could come in. So if you do ask Curtis and or Elliot to go again, there's a chance Szoboszlai comes in at the weekend. You could even put Trent in midfield at the weekend
possibly
as well.
Six, if McAllister's played a lot of football.
Yeah, exactly. Play him at the six, and you can play Beck and Bradley or Beck and Gomez, whatever, Dan. So I think Jones will play. I think given how he's played and how important he's been, I think he'll start. Yeah. With Elliot, what do you think?
I would fall on the side of Chloe for that one. I tend to agree. And albeit Pep Linders has been at pains to stress that there's nothing wrong with Curtis Jones and it was given all clear and no issues and all that. But
he's had two scans apparently and both have come up clear.
Yeah, but clearly, as Chloe alludes to, he came off, he wasn't happy with something that was going on in the back of his leg. So I just wouldn't risk him at all because, yeah, Liverpool are going to have all the best knowledge and all the best know-how, and they're going to know he's absolutely fine, but you don't want to look foolish and start him, and 20 minutes in, he has to come off because something's happened. I just don't think it's worth it. Not when you've got Ryan Gravenberch there, and albeit Ryan Gravenberch hasn't perhaps hit the heights we all hoped and expected from his early outings as a Liverpool player, he's still a wonderful footballer. And you're not suddenly dropping, all due respect, Bobby Clark in. You know, his minutes come at the weekend, likewise with Joel Quant and people like that, but I think to go from Jones to Gravenberch is kind of one of them. Like, as important and as brilliant Curtis Jones is been, would anybody be really shocked if Ryan Gravenberch starts a semi-final second leg in the Carabao Cup? No, so I don't see that big a problem with that personally. So no risk taken. Harvey Elliott starts as well, as mentioned, but yeah, I would be resting Curtis Jones, because again, even if this problem itself isn't a problem, he's had problems in the past, so this could be an opportunity to get him out the firing line a little bit, because we've got Arsenal and Chelsea on the horizon.
I don't think he rests people in a semi-final. I get your point.
It's Ryan Gravenberch, isn't it? It's not Bobby Clark, McConnell, whoever.
I'm not even saying it's resting him. I'm saying it's precaution. It's a case of, if I'm asking you to go for 60 minutes, right, and you've done damage and you're out, even for 3 weeks, that is absolutely massive.
That's
to
how important
because
he is.
Because Curtis Jones has become, that he's nailed down that left-hand side.
Yeah, he's in the team.
He's so important to Liverpool's balance, especially in games against the likes of Chelsea and Arsenal, which are coming up. So I wouldn't be resting him. I'd be basically saying, saying to him, if you're well enough, I'm giving you last 25, 30 minutes, mate. Yeah, yeah. But I do not want to make you go to the well again, pick up a strain, and you not be available for the next upcoming games, because they're important as well. He'll have the weekend off anyway, or he'll at least be on the bench.
Our team at Norwich could be anything coming.
Exactly. So we've got leeway to play with it. And like you mentioned there, Ryan Gravenberch is an absolute star. And if we can get him on the half turn, because you've got to think that they won't, you know, feel like they have to instantly come at us, but they will, because they're good enough to do that, and that's their game plan. So if you can get Ryan Gravenberch on the half turn on a counter attack, he's one of the best to do with it. We're dragging the ball up the pitch as well.
Yeah, absolutely, it makes sense. Gakpo starts, would you guess, given what we've seen the other day. He was the only one of the front four who didn't start at the weekend. And to be fair, he come on, he played well, got an assist as well. Now, there's a temptation to say to all of them, go again with the second half formation, which was Jota played right, Diaz played left, and Darwin was up front.
Yeah.
I'm half thinking he's probably going to play Gakpo though, Dan. I don't know what your thoughts are.
I would say so. Yeah, I would
and
think so.
Where do you think that would be?
I think Gakpo plays central.
Yeah.
Right. And we've got Jota on the right, Nunes on the left. And again, I mentioned this pre-game on the weekend, like that's relatively interchangeable as well, quite fluid.
Yeah.
You know, they can all pop up in different areas, which I think is absolutely massively important, because Fulham defenders, that would be a nightmare for them, quite frankly. But yeah, I would go Gakpo in this one. I think Diaz, he's looked back to his best in recent times, I think it's fair to say. A little bit quieter on the weekend, perhaps, but he's got that little bit of X factor back, so no sort of discrediting his performances, but probably one that could do with a little bit of a rest. I'd say he's played a lot of footy in recent times as well. So, yeah, I'd be going Cody Gakpo for this one, personally. And he needs minutes as well, and this is kind of his competition, 4-4, so why not?
He's done all right, isn't he? And listen, do you all play? Whoever doesn't start gets
on.
They all get their minutes. I think he's going to go Gakpo up front, Diaz left.
Oh, really?
No, sorry, no, Diaz right, Nunes left. I don't think Jota's going to start.
No, you've got to have Jota.
I think
Jota.
Kill the game, man.
He's potentially the first name on the team sheet, if I'm being honest.
I 100% agree. Mate, no one likes Jota more than me. I think they bring Jota on at the end. I think Jota's job is to finish the game rather than start the game in this one.
I'm getting Jota on the start.
I'm with you. I get it, mate.
If
listen,
chances falling at his feet within the first 15 minutes, he's the one.
Bring Kate Gordon on for him like 20 minutes ago when he's killed.
I'm Jota FC, me. I'm all over it. Don't get me wrong. I just think that's what he's going to do. I think that's probably what he's going to do. But Jota has played. The beauty of it all, Chloe, is that not only are we deciding who plays, it's who plays where. So Nunes can play up front or left.
Yeah.
Diaz can do either flank. Jota can do all three. Gakpo, left or centre, we haven't really seen too much of him on the right. But not only are we trying to pick a team here, we're trying to pick who plays where, which is a good problem for Jürgen to have. He's also got the option of Gakpo or Elliot, even in midfield or on the right hand side as well for Elliot. So he's got a lot of options here to play with. It'll be interesting to see what he thinks the best one to attack Fulham is, because to be fair to Jürgen, he's got this wrong a lot. He's changed it and got it right.
Yeah.
There's been times where he's picked the wrong team. He admitted the other day against Bournemouth, I got it wrong and I changed it at half time. Didn't he do something similar against Palace? He said something against Burnley as
Arsenal
well.
Arsenal too, when he changed Diaz and Nunes.
Yeah, he's done it a couple of times. So he's got that up his sleeve. You can change it without having to make substitutions. But I'm torn with especially with Darwin, because I keep thinking he's better on the left, and yet he went up front the other day, was brilliant and scored two goals in the second half.
Yeah.
He has got some decisions to make, not only in terms of personnel, but he plays where as well.
Yeah, he does, but it's good that we've got this versatility up front, especially with Mo Salah being out, because it means that we can rotate the front three. And also, it's like you mentioned there, at half-time where he's changing things, you give their defence something else to think about. You know, Ben White's just being run into the ground by Luis Diaz. Great, let's switch him over to the other side and good luck to whoever's over there. And it's very important for us to be able to do that. You mentioned there Darwin Nunes played up front and he got the goals, but he got the goals from the left hand side of the box, which is why I want him on the left hand side, because it just seems more natural of a finish for him to step in onto the ball and put it bottom bins the opposite sides of him, where I mean he scored those two unbelievable goals against Newcastle from the right hand side.
They're the outliers, aren't they?
But it does seem like when he's running onto it and he can open his body up and find the far corner, that's when he's best at. And his goal for the one Joe Gomez assisted was incredible. He was far post. So that's why I would put him on the left. The reason I'd start Jota is because his link-up play is just ridiculous. Like he can pick the ball up. He sees
He's the best player.
He's incredible, but he knows where he needs to be on a pitch in terms of helping other players get out and make the runs. And his assist for Darwin Darwin's great. Darwin doesn't have to do anything the other day. He just steps onto it. And I think his link-up play is vitally important. And then you've got Cody Gakpo, who, once again, is not selfish. And he'll let, you know, Darwin Núñez and Diogo Jota get the goals, and he'll sacrifice himself for the team. But he's also a deadly finisher at times.
He's on 9 goals. So he's not done badly.
His goal against Fulham that Darwin Núñez assisted from the left-hand side is a brilliant finish on his weak foot. So they're the front three I'd go with, and I'm getting excited just thinking about that front three, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, no, absolutely. Whatever he does, there's no bad options. I'm with you, Ado. Like, Jota play, if I'm picking the team, Jota plays every time. I just wonder, the thought of extra time, you have to take that into account here, Dan, as well. Hopefully it doesn't, and I get you, but yeah, that is in Jürgen's mind. In other rounds of this competition, he hasn't had to worry about extra time. It would be straight to pens. Uh-huh. So you can make your subs. You can say, I think Robbo can do 20, but 20 can become 50.
You've
got to bear all this in mind. You hope it doesn't get there, but I wonder how that plays into the manager's thinking
but
as well.
I'd also think, like, once again, if a chance is going to fall to anyone, and it's going to be Jota, and he's playing 60 minutes, he's going to get a couple of chances. If he can finish even, you know, one or two of them, great. That should put us, you know, hopefully the defence stays strong. But I'd rather that than put him on with 20 minutes to go and potentially be drawing, and we're snatching at things, and we're not finding, you know, the extra pass or the right third pass because we're too busy panicking at the fact that we're potentially running out of time, and we've then got to go again for extra time.
It's interesting, and extra time obviously will be in the back of both managers' mind, but particularly Jürgen Klopp. But what I would say on that, and he will have to be cautious, he will have to use his subs accordingly with that potentially being a factor, but he's put a lot of trust and a lot of faith in the youngsters in and around the squad of late, and he's been rewarded for it as well. We've seen Conor Bradley's performances, so I wouldn't put it past him. For instance, he brought Bobby Clark and Bradley on away at Arsenal in the FA Cup, and it's seen as over the line, so I wouldn't put it past him if needs must he has to use a Bobby Clark from the bench, for example, and he trusts him to play the last 10 minutes plus extra time, essentially, because they're there for a reason. They've in and around the first team for a reason, so I don't think it'll weigh too heavily on his mind. That's why I'm inclined to suggest that he might try and get the job done within the first 60-70 minutes, and then they'll go from there.
Absolutely right. Then, all said and done, score predictions. I'll come to you first, Dan, while Chloe has a thing. She's shaking her head.
I'm not giving a prediction. Okay. I do apologise. I'm going the game and I'm not jinxing.
Fair enough, Chloe.
I can't do that.
Do you think we'll get through? We don't have to give a goal. Do you think we'll be in the final? Is that a
qualify?
Si, senor.
Okay, that'll do. I, on the other hand, I don't believe in all jinxing and that. So I'll say Liverpool win 3-1 and we're 2-1 up. We're like 10 minutes to go and they're just flying out. And we get on the counter. Done.
One all and we get through.
Okay.
Is my prediction. I think it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it will be tough.
And what you've got to remember is, like for example, the 4-3, we had to go and find that extra goal.
Yeah.
You don't one all to good result. Like, that's what I'm saying. If this was a league game, if this was a league game, you'd be maybe Liverpool nick one because they've shown they can do. They actually don't have to do that. So I actually think Liverpool will score, and that's the main thing. And if they do, then it becomes really tough for Fulham to get through. They are good enough, and I am not underestimating Fulham.
They're
a good team, and they've got goals in them, and they've got a good attack on players.
But you know what we haven't mentioned? That Bassey is a massive miss for them.
I was just thinking as you were talking, then they got a couple of Bassey's being a big one, probably.
It's Bassey, Balotore and Iwobi.
Bassey's massive. Iwobi is even quite big for them.
To be fair, he missed the game at Anfield as well. They weren't there for that one. I think it was... Diop played in the centre back.
He did quite well. So.
No, he did. Yeah, and Tosin as well. They all played well.
Tosin's a decent player.
Yeah, Fulham were good. Yeah. they got undone in a quick little minute, couple of minutes, and they had chances. So we'll see how they go. But I think we'll score. And I think once we do score, whether it's first or second, I think that gives the lads. We've shown we are good at the back. We've got the best defensive record in the league, and I think at times they've been caught out. No, but I think they've been caught out because you've got to go and win. This isn't a game you have to go and win. And I think that doesn't have to make it easy for you to... I'm not going to say you sit back for 90 minutes, but once you've got that goal and a bit of cushion, then I think it makes it a little bit easier for it to do. So I think we're going to score first, and I think we'll draw 1-1. Yeah, RC Jack says, that way it wouldn't be a draw. That means we win by one. Fulham will be going mad, either score or leave the back door wide open. I see your point. Yeah. I think Liverpool, for like 5 minutes to go, are... man on the barricades a little bit, and I think they're happy to do it.
Yeah.
I think that's how I'm predicting this one. I hope it's not. I hope we beat them 7-0, but I just don't see that one happening. Right, Chloe, Dan, thanks so much for joining us. Like we just mentioned, Chloe's going down to the game, so keep an eye on the YouTube channel for some clips and stuff down there, and the social account as well, and go and check out Chloe's YouTube page where she'll have her vlog. If Liverpool win, if they get beat, I don't think you put the vlogs out, do you? So yeah, no. Go and check out Chloe's YouTube channel as well, and go and check out the match they vlog when hopefully Liverpool qualify for the final.
See the one from the other day, Tom and Nunes was really quite close to me after this goal.
There you go, go and check it all out. It's Chloe's match vlogs as well. Like I say, for the game itself, come and join us for the watch along. It's me and Chris and Dan in the studio for that one. We'll be live about 15 minutes before kickoff. I haven't even checked what time it kicks off. Is it 8?
8.
8 o'clock tomorrow.
There you go, 7:45 on the YouTube channel. Me, Chris, for the watch along. Come and join us, and yeah, we'll be back with another match preview ahead of the Norwich game on Friday. See you then.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.